Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Your Brain's Not Broken, Strategies for Navigating Your Emotions and Life with ADHD by Tamara Rozier, PhD, narrated by Susie Alphens. Publisher's Note: In this audio edition, you will hear references to visual elements present in the print and ebook formats of this book. Introduction. No more pretending. Put me at any large party, networking event, or fundraiser, and I will naturally gravitate toward the individuals in the room with ADHD. This isn't intentional. It just happens. It's not because I founded the ADHD Center of West Michigan, nor because I have worked in this field for over 12 years. It's not because 3 of my 4 children have ADHD. It's because I instinctively know my tribe. You see, I also have ADHD. But you most likely wouldn't see it. At first. The symptoms of ADHD are mostly invisible. Unless you know where to look. For the most part, others wouldn't notice that I struggle to sit still. Because I don't visibly fidget much. And I don't get up and move around when I shouldn't. Instead, I secretly keep myself busy by wearing jewelry I can fidget with, or tracing the ridges of the glass in my hand. In social situations, you might not see all the ways I am trying to fit in, nor that it takes a tremendous amount of energy to look normal. I am continuously working diligently to suppress ADHD tendencies by pretending that I care about polite small talk, not interrupting people, and listening carefully. Eventually, the combination of pretending to be a grown-up and hog-tying impulsive thoughts and actions causes social fatigue. So I wander toward the people who are more like me, the impish and interrupting type. With other people who have ADHD, conversations bounce around many topics in a freestyle stream of consciousness. Now I'm no longer pretending to fit in. I am not overly focused on ADHD symptoms. I am in the moment, enjoying the party and being comfortable with my ADHD self. Unless you spend time with me, you may not know how ADHD affects me daily. You may see me struggle, however, to remember things, to pay attention in meetings, to listen to directions, to complete tasks. You are very likely to see me look for misplaced items, mumbling to myself, "Now, where could that be?" If you don't know that those are symptoms of ADHD, you may judge me as irresponsible, scattered, untrustworthy, or even just dumb. That's because the symptoms of ADHD are often misconstrued and judged as character traits instead of seen as a result of neurological differences. Because I know that many people don't understand ADHD and misunderstand the symptoms they see, I do my best to look normal, which requires me to fake it. Each day I struggle with the apparently simple tasks in life. For example, I would like to call and meet my friends for coffee, but anything that isn't happening right now seems too overwhelming to plan. Some days I feel like I can't get my scattered thoughts in order long enough to start a task, let alone stay on track and finish it. Sometimes my attempts to bury my symptoms fail miserably. Little ADHD errors throughout my day pile up. I double book clients, forget to pay a bill, or leave my car windows open on a rainy day. By evening, I am exhausted and feel like a failure. And I am sure that others see me as a failure too. I know too well how those of us with ADHD are assessed by a non-ADHD world. Previous supervisors, friends, and even family members have interpreted my symptoms as carelessness, laziness, or stupidity. Even when people know that I have ADHD, they often attribute my symptoms to flaws in my character, telling me to pay more attention to this or that. I frequently speak to various groups about how ADHD affects individuals. On one such evening, I was talking to a large group of parents on the topic of raising emotionally healthy children who have ADHD. During the session, I highlighted the importance of empowering their children to problem solve. I explained how easily people with ADHD feel shame and inadequacy. Afterward, some of the parents formed a line to ask additional questions, and I helped the participants develop the next steps in their parenting. A well-meaning, non-ADHD parent came up to me at the podium and said, "I will take your glass. I know you will forget to do it." Then winked and laughed at her own joke. I must have looked shocked, because she stopped and said, "Oh, did you need this glass?" Her words had felt like a slap to my face. She had assumed I would forget and made a punchline out of my struggles, landing the all-too-familiar jab, "I will do this for you, because you are too careless, stupid, unreliable to do it." I had already made allowances for my forgetfulness by placing the remote control I was using next to the glass, so I wouldn't leave it behind. On the flight home, I reflected on how easily I could feel inept. I wish the woman had just said, "I would love to take care of this for you." I know she really didn't mean to send the negative message that I was careless. But because those of us with ADHD receive so many small messages like that, they build up and leave dents in our sense of well-being. Part of this problem is how others judge me, but another part is how hard I judge myself. Like so many with ADHD, I am sensitive to rejection and criticism. I make the cognitive mistake of seeing criticism where it wasn't intended, such as with that helpful parent at the conference. I have tried to hide my natural way of thinking or behaving from people so that I can fit into a non-ADHD world. I have studied the patterns of non-ADHD people, how they think and act, to help me blend in. I have come to the conclusion that I cannot fake being neurotypical any longer. Instead, I need to be honest about how ADHD affects me, how I think, and how I tend to act, then use that understanding to help me navigate the world in which I live. It is a constant game of accommodating, but it works. I don't need to pretend any longer. I accept that I am different from others who don't have ADHD. And even though I live in a fast-paced, detailed world full of distractions, I can figure out how to navigate by continually developing new skills and attitudes. Learning how my brain tends to function helps me develop hacks and workarounds to get things done and to be gracious to myself when I don't. If you have ADHD, you need to know that your brain is not broken. It doesn't work in the same way as a normal or neurotypical brain does, because it's wired differently. Some parts of the ADHD brain are overactive compared to the non-ADHD brain, and some are underactive. Seeing how the ADHD brain works differently from the neurotypical brain helps us understand, accept, and compensate for our differences. This knowledge that ADHD is a complicated disorder that affects each part of a person's life is the first step to managing it. It is my desire for you to learn to see your ADHD patterns and then make the adaptions necessary for you to live effectively. The knowledge you will gain about ADHD will empower you so that you can manage your symptoms without needing to pretend to others and yourself. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, you will learn about the complicated emotional landscape of those with ADHD. You will see that emotional difficulty can show up in many different ways. For example, some might have trouble putting the brakes on their feelings when they're angry or stressed about something. Others might struggle to get revved up to do something when they're feeling bored. Spotting the emotional components of ADHD helps to compensate for the impact of it. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 delve into the ADHD thought life. Persistent negative messages that we send ourselves are common distractors in the ADHD brain. Like naughty little elves, they sneak around, whispering lies that we believe. They implant messages of fear, failure, and unworthiness. You will learn how to identify these cognitive errors, address them, and move on from them. In chapters 7, 8, and 9, You will learn how people with ADHD understand time, energy, and motivation, and how to work within that understanding. You will learn how to use the Solve-It grid to analyze your tasks and manage your calendar. And most importantly, to begin to approach life's details in an ADHD-friendly manner. Chapter 10 presents a way to understand how managing your emotions, thought patterns, and actions contributes to your overall level of emotional health. As the ADHD ladder of emotional health helps you see what is happening in your emotional landscape, you will be able to better manage your moment-by-moment situation and make informed choices. Chapter 11 brings up the important topic of boundaries. Personal boundaries are guidelines, rules, or limits that a person creates to identify reasonable and safe ways for other people to behave toward them. Many people with ADHD have unhealthy boundaries, which leads to difficulties in managing healthy relationships, balancing activities and rest, and coordinating appropriate emotions to match the situation. Setting boundaries can help you navigate your world more safely and efficiently. Chapter 12 looks at three practical areas to help you improve your ADHD symptoms: managing your sleep, protecting your peak times, and learning to rehearse tasks. Focusing on these areas will provide you with a solid foundation for creating other ADHD-friendly strategies for your life. Chapter 13 discusses how to raise emotionally healthy children who have ADHD. You can teach your child the power of self-efficacy and resiliency. Children with ADHD can grow up to be confident adults if given the necessary nurturing and skills. As the book concludes, you will have learned patience and kindness for yourself, as well as for the person you now recognize as having this disorder. Most of all, you will have confidence that although living well with ADHD has its challenges, it is possible to live productively and contentedly. 1. And then, ping, goes my brain. "My brain keeps pinging," Christine said, explaining the chaos that ruled her days. "Ping! Oh, I gotta remember that. Ping! I need to do that now, before I forget. Ping! Do this. Ping! 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 All day! Like a berserk iPhone ringing in my head." She let out a long, heavy sigh that turned to tears. "I can't handle it all. I just can't." I handed her the box of tissues on the table as she continued. "Everything's a mess. My car, my apartment. I keep making stupid little mistakes. I'm tired and overwhelmed all the time. I keep telling myself, 'Christine, you can do better. Get it together.' But it seems like I just can't. My fiancé asks how he can help me. I don't even know what help to ask for. I have so many people willing to help. But what do I tell them to do?" As she talked, I could hear the frustration spilling out in her words and tone of voice that are typical in adults who share her disorder. Her complaints were far from unusual. Many of my clients, adults of any age or gender, tell variations of the same story. They are exhausted from having so many thoughts that seem to collide at the same time. They are frustrated and angry with themselves for struggling to complete tasks, even ones that seem simple. Yet many explain that they have a strange ability to hyper-focus for hours on some tasks they find interesting. And, like Christine, they often tell me that they have a tendency to overlook details, leading to errors or incomplete work. Christine has a neurological disorder that affects nearly 5% of the United States adult population. It's called Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD. Adults with ADHD, previously known as ADD, often struggle to regulate attention and impulses due to differences in the way their brains have developed and function. Although ADHD is still often thought of as the naughty boy disease that will eventually go away with maturity, science now shows that one does not outgrow ADHD. Some symptoms can lessen or disappear as a person grows older. But that is not the same as outgrowing them. Not only does adult ADHD exist, but it also has immense impact on the quality of one's life experiences. Most people with ADHD will continue to have symptoms throughout adolescence and adulthood. These symptoms often shift as a person becomes more sophisticated in their approach to life, but the basic ADHD patterns are still present. Some people don't become better at managing their symptoms. They become better at hiding them. Until they can't. I was able to reassure Christine that she was exhibiting the most common ADHD symptoms among adults. Problems with working memory, trouble directing focus, struggles with organization and time management, and emotional hypersensitivity. Like many adults with ADHD, Christine had been able to compensate for her symptoms when she was younger. But as a young professional amid significant transitions in her life and increasing responsibilities, she felt the strain on her ability to cope. She had just finished graduate school, moved back to her hometown, and started a new job, and she was getting married in a month. Her difficulty dealing with everyday life is not unusual. The more someone with ADHD tries to manage the complexities of life, pursuing a career, raising a family, running a household, the greater the demand on their abilities to organize, focus, and remain calm. Though these things can be challenging for anyone, for someone with ADHD, it can feel downright impossible. "People don't have any idea how hard I have to work to do normal stuff," Christine said, tearing up again. "It's just so hard." As I listened, I heard the all-too-familiar refrain, "It's hard to be me." This refrain is not an exaggeration or symptoms of a pity party. When a person has ADHD, it not only feels very difficult to manage even the average day-to-day challenges of life, it actually is more difficult. "I feel like that too," I assured her. "Many of us with ADHD do. I am open with my clients about my own struggles. I want them to know I more than empathize with them and the challenges they face with ADHD. I live it as well. Here's what it feels like for me," I told her. "It's like I'm at a starting line of a race. The whistle blows, the pistol fires. As I move, I stumble and fall. Confused, I look down to see why and find that I'm missing a part of my leg. It's clear I won't be able to run like the others, but no one seems to notice my missing appendage. Instead, they expect me to participate in the race like everyone else. They only fault me for the falls I take and my lack of speed and agility." Christine's expression changed from sad to intrigued. She was athletic and loved playing sports, so the metaphor made sense to her. "I guess for me it feels like I'm trying to run an obstacle course," she said. "I have stairs to run, tires to dance through, and ropes to climb, and no one gets that half of my leg is missing." She continued with a metaphor that was now hers. "I tell myself, 'Run faster, Christine,' but I keep falling. People ask me why I don't run the course like everyone else, demanding I compete with people who have two legs. I know I can't keep up. But what I'm really wondering is, what if I just can't compete in an obstacle course at all?" She paused at the significance of her own question, landing on the distinct disadvantage those of us with ADHD often feel compared to our non-ADHD peers. Our symptoms whittle away at our efficiency in life and erode our beliefs in our own ability to succeed. I told her that it seemed clear to me that she was working hard at all the things she was doing, and then said, "But your challenges aren't about strength or willpower, are they?" Christine, like so many of my clients, was frustrated with herself and blamed her failures on a lack of effort or weak character, when the reality was that so many of her struggles were because of a brain that worked very differently than the neurotypical or non-ADHD brain. ADHD's wide variety of frustrating symptoms can hinder everything from relationships to careers. It is invisible and yet unmissable. Once you know what to look for, spotting an ADHD pattern in someone you know becomes clear and obvious. Roberta, a spouse of someone with ADHD, returned from her husband's family reunion and said, "I can see the ADHD patterns of thinking throughout his whole family, but they can't." She and her husband have been learning how ADHD affects their marriage, and that knowledge has been beneficial in helping them thrive. Seeing those patterns has helped me develop patience not just for my husband, but for that side of the family. Trouble directing and sustaining attention. There is a misconception that those with ADHD lack the ability to pay attention or stay focused. The reality is that ADHD causes us to pay too much attention to everything most of the time, especially when it comes from our environment. We may become easily distracted by irrelevant information that our five senses are detecting. People whispering, crooked artwork on the wall, perfume that is too strong, the itchy tag of our t-shirt, lights that are too bright. Because we don't have the filters to sift out unnecessary information, these distractions, which are nearly invisible to the neurotypical person, compete for our attention. Because of our brains that go ping, our attention is often inefficiently redirected. Bouncing from one activity to another isn't uncommon in individuals with ADHD. Christine explained how she would flit from one thought or activity to another, and then another, and another. Quickly moving between activities leads to a tendency to overlook details, causing errors or incomplete work. ADHD can help someone focus, however, on tasks they find stimulating or engaging because a specific part of their brain is emotionally invested in the activity. I have a student client, for example, who spends hours reading about World War II. He has dug into original texts examining the thinking of that time. His parents shake their heads because their eighth grader, who can process this part of history so deeply, didn't pass social studies. World War II is fascinating to this young man, but his routine middle school curriculum isn't. Because of how the ADHD brain operates, we have a hard time paying attention if something isn't inherently interesting or emotionally engaging. Functions that we find monotonous or mundane create more difficulties for us. That is why we will so often get distracted by lower priority tasks. They are often more interesting or more easily accomplished than our higher priority tasks. There is also the "wait, what?" phenomenon that happens when those of us with ADHD forget to listen. We think we are listening, and then our minds begin to drift. We zone out without realizing it, which leads to difficulty in remembering conversations or following a complex set of directions. This occurs not because we don't care about what is being said, but because we have difficulty sustaining our attention for very long. Hyperfocus. Conversely, sometimes it will look like those of us with ADHD can actually sustain focus. But it's not a normal type of focus. When we deeply and intensely concentrate on something that we find very interesting, we will unconsciously tune out any irrelevant thoughts and senses. This is a single-minded, trance-like state called hyperfocus. It's our way of tuning out the chaos inside and outside of our heads. Hyperfocus happens when we completely immerse ourselves in an intriguing task, like working out complicated math problems or editing photos and film. Some of us become so engrossed in a project that it looks like we are completely unaware of anything else happening around us. A person who is hyper-focused often wears an intense stare, has no perception of time passing, and has no recognition of physical needs, thirst, hunger, etc. Parents and spouses are often confused by the fact that their loved one can focus on something like a video game, an intricate puzzle, a Lego set, or model building for hours, but won't put the same effort into other tasks. This hyperfocus is often interpreted as selfishness, laziness, or defiance. Hyperactivity or restlessness. Some people fit the stereotypical ADHD personality, which means they are living out their hyperactivity externally. They talk excessively, attempt to do many things at once, and have trouble sitting still, constantly fidgeting. They are highly energetic and perpetually on the go, as if driven by a motor. However, ADHD expert William Dodson explains that the vast majority of adults with ADHD are not overtly hyperactive, though they are hyperactive internally. For many of them, their hyperactivity feels more like an inner restlessness or agitation. They will likely worry about what may happen in the future. Like their outwardly hyperactive counterparts, they also have racing thoughts and a craving for excitement, but it occurs inwardly. Impulsivity. Impulsivity is a spin-off of hyperactivity and restlessness combined. That internal churning can cause people with ADHD to have difficulty managing their behaviors, comments, and responses. They might act before thinking or react without considering potential consequences. When they have impulse problems, staying patient is challenging. For better or for worse, they often dive headlong into situations and find themselves in potentially precarious circumstances. There's the dad who wants to get that play structure erected for his kids, and he rushes through the building process without planning or reading directions and finds he has to go back and rebuild much of it. There's the man who has trouble behaving in socially appropriate ways and frequently interrupts his friends, talking over them in his rush not to forget what he was going to say. There's the employee who has difficulty sitting still in a company meeting, or the person who blurts out thoughts that are rude or inappropriate. Even the repetitive questions from a spouse that can be perceived as nagging can be traced back to ADHD impulsivity. Poor self-control is an issue for some and can lead to acting recklessly or spontaneously without regard for consequences, or can contribute to addictive tendencies. Difficulty managing emotions. Although we may not like to talk about it or admit it, many of us with ADHD have a hard time managing our feelings. And because we don't talk about it, people don't understand this emotional side of ADHD. They are unaware that we are very sensitive, experiencing emotions with great intensity. This emotional hypersensitivity takes on a variety of forms. First, and most importantly, what would be a small emotional event to most people would feel like a big event to those of us with ADHD. When our ADHD brains confuse what is a big deal and what is a small deal, we can respond to minor irritations with the same intense emotional energy as we would in dangerous situations. Fueled by our exaggerated emotions, we overreact to criticism with fear of rejection, worries that we are inadequate, low self-esteem, and insecurity. Something as simple as a forgotten library book can bring deep shame and embarrassment. A store clerk's flippant comment about our messy purse is crushing and puts us into hiding for the rest of the day. We may never feel truly confident at work, living in constant fear that we will be fired for any small failure. We can be more easily flustered, stressed, or irritable. Some of us are short-tempered, exploding in the face of frustrations. Out of frustration over a broken garbage disposal, we snap at our spouse, or we lash out at a friend because they accidentally spilled water on our paperwork. When the intensity of our feelings doesn't match the situation, we might realize it and feel embarrassed. Other times, we may not even catch that we have overreacted because we see our emotional intensity as normal. Many family members of those with ADHD tell me that they feel like they are walking on eggshells around their spouse or children, working hard not to set them off. Should I seek a diagnosis? Life can be a balancing act for any adult. But when you have ADHD and don't know it, it's easy to conclude that there's something wrong with you, especially if you don't have a framework for understanding what you are experiencing. Undiagnosed and untreated ADHD can have wide-reaching effects and cause problems.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?